Moses is teaching mystically in front of your eyes as Eve being created out of Adam, female being created out of male. But it's really soul separating from spirit. Because female is soul, male is spirit. It's the visible separation of soul from spirit. And the condition you're looking at is as true of Adam as it is of Eve. Adam's soul is separated from his spirit in his belief, in his unconscious belief. And it's also true of Eve that her soul is separated from her spirit in her unconscious belief. This is the breach born into the world known as mortality. Every human being is born with that breach. The unawareness of the implicit, unconscious separation of soul from spirit, all brought about by the journey of spirit through these levels. So that when the mist goes over the earth, we are learning that the mist is really the beginning of mind. World mind shows forth in the fourth level as Adam and Eve, or the human race. It's in the fourth level that the mist goes over the world. Moses first takes us into the whole picture, and then he now takes his spotlight and brings it right to where we are as human beings into the fourth level, or the mist, of the world mind. He is showing us that the world mind is created by, first, the journey of your soul from the void up to the seventh level. This is what in the difference between your soul at that level, at the beginning void level, after it has descended from eternity into the void, and up to the space between the void where your soul is at the beginning of its journey, return journey to eternity, that is gap is filled by world mind. And as soul rises higher, the gap is shortened, diminished. And in the fourth level, it shows up in human beings as the separation of soul and spirit in each individual. We are still in bondage to world mind. And every child born into the mortal picture is born with an unconscious breach between its soul and spirit. It's that breach which must be eliminated to find our way to paradise. In you, today, this moment, you may have passed that breach. Not too many have. And if you have not, it is time to see that you are both Adam and Eve. You are Adam in the sense that you are spirit. You are Eve in the sense that you are soul. And now Eve must return into the rib of Adam. In you, Eve and Adam must be reunited. The male and the female must be reunited in you. The spirit and the soul must be reunited. They already are. But you must come to the conscious realization that your male spirit and your female soul are one. And that you are soul and spirit. And when you reach that realization, Christ in you will then be your next realization. Now this is the purpose of the Adam and Eve story. To make known the breach. And the purpose of the soul in flight on its journey upward back to eternity, back to oneness with the Spirit, back to oneness with the Eternal Father. These are to show you that until these are done, we live as captives in the world mind which fills the breach. And it so fills the breach that we are not even unaware that these things are happening to us, and we turn left and we turn right and we implore God and we pray and we do all sorts of things because we are captives in world mind. We are captives of the unconscious breach between our soul and spirit. That's why there's a mystical marriage, to fill that breach, not with world mind, but with Christ realization. Now this then is to clarify the direction we're going to pursue. You'll find later on the cross that Jesus is pierced by a spear in his rib. Now the rib of Adam, which is the separation of soul and spirit, is the rib of Jesus in reverse. And that spear pierces the rib of Jesus, and divine blood flows forth to show that the breach, the separation, is overcome in Christ's realization. We are going to repair that breach. In our meditation, let us first establish three clear truths as one truth. I'm only going to give you one until it is established, and then we will go into the second, and then finally the third. Let us establish with a certain sense of refusal to permit otherwise. In other words, an integrity which says, if this is the truth, then its opposite cannot be true. Let us establish that God is here. That God is present in this room. Let us establish it so firmly that something within our consciousness begins to resonate. God is present. It's so obvious, of course, but sometimes we're so busy with so much, and our five senses are so conscious of the material world around us that for the moment we are aware of other things other than the presence of God. And when we think about it for a moment, of course we know it's true, but our attention has to be called to it too often. God is present. There hasn't been a single moment since you walked into the room that God hasn't been present. And that presence is not only in the room, but it's right where you are. And you know that. The presence of God is where you are. Yes, you have been on holy ground, there's no place in this room where the presence of God is not. How beautiful that almost several hundred people can be in the one presence of God, realizing that they are not Adam and they are not Eve, and that they are not mortal. But when you accept the presence of God, you must go a step further and know that the presence of God is not sharing its place, its position with a human being, with a temporary mortal. The presence of God is where you are, and that's all that is there. Only the presence of God is here. Now we're in the second phase of the meditation. Only the presence of God is here. When you are able to shift into this awareness, you may not know it, but your soul and your spirit are coming into conscious oneness with each other. You are accomplishing the conscious awareness of the union of soul and spirit, even when you're not trying to, just by knowing that the presence of God where I am is all that is here. And what is forgiveness but the realization that it is where my neighbor is? Right where there is a person sitting next to me, the presence of God is, and only the presence of God is there. You think there are two presences? If the presence of God is where you are, and the presence is where your neighbor is, who is that presence? It is a self of you. It is a self of your neighbor. But are there two of you then? If there are 200 people in a room and the presence of God is where each one is, and there's only one presence, are there 200 people? Or is there one presence? Let us make that jump. There is one presence, and that is all. And now you are accepting omnipresence without opposite. Only the presence of God is here. We started out with the presence, but now we're into only the presence is here. Only the presence of God is here. And I can assure you, there is a fusion taking place within your consciousness. The fission that began before you came into the world of mortality is now becoming fusion as you accept that only the presence of God is where you are, where your neighbor is, and you and your neighbor lose identity as mortal. Immortality becomes your conscious awareness. The presence of God and my immortal self are one. We cannot move further until your soul is vibrating with this knowledge. Until this room is your soul. Until this room cannot contain your soul. It is too vast. Boundaries of mortal flesh should begin to dissolve. the sense of radiant flesh without boundaries, should begin to make a conscious impression on your soul. Your soul should now be moving consciously in a spiritual universe where there is no mortal flesh. This is the nature of dominion over every creeping thing. There is none. That's the dominion. The spiritual universe and your soul are one. You should be flowing into the third phase of awareness at this point, which would have been beyond your mind at the beginning. All of God is in this room. Yes, it's possible. All of God is in this room. There is no more of God anywhere than there is in this room. 100% of God is in this room. To the mind, that is staggering and unbelievable. To the soul, it is normal. For the soul knows that you cannot divide God into one room and have some more of God in another room, that God is not finite. We are not dealing with human concepts anymore. All of God can not only fit into this room, but all of God fits into a blade of grass. Wherever God is, all of God is. That's your third part of the meditation. All of God is in this room. Nothing can be added to all of God that is here, and nothing can be subtracted. When this becomes your consciousness, you will be abiding in the seventh day. You will be honoring the Sabbath, the seventh day. You will be resting in the Word. And because it is true, and because God is the self of you, wherever you are, all of God's self is. All of God's self is wherever you are. 100% of God is wherever you are, always. All that I have is thine wherever you are, always. To this, we dedicate our total being to live out this truth. And when you make that dedication, that surrender, you abdicate from the human will, the human concepts, the human ambitions, and you realize that here where I stand, there is no human being. There is no human being here, only all of God. And that is your truth and your secret, and that is what you tell no man. And that is where you abide. And that is where Christ announces, I am come, that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. For out of this awareness, the new Comforter is born in you. To the human mind, impossible. And to religion, I suspect it would be heresy. But not to God. Not to I. In this fidelity to the allness of I, without opposite, as the truth of all who walk this earth, you are bringing heaven to earth and removing the concept of earth that it may be shown forth as the heaven it is. You are finding that paradise is within your enlightened consciousness, nowhere else. Perhaps that's what Ezra meant when he prophesied that we would overcome the world mind, that we would break all world karma. So I've got to read again to you the second half of Ezra's fourth prophecy. I mean, fourth book. The prophecy which, after he described what would happen to us in world mind, he then described we would break through world mind, and it shall be, whosoever shall have survived all these things that we are familiar with today, the nuclear missile, the drug, the terrorism, the abortion, the inhumanity, the cruelty, whatever you see in this world, the so-called incurable disease, those who will survive, all these things that I have foretold unto thee, he shall be saved and shall see my salvation. And the end of my world. And so you, in your fidelity to I, the infinite divine self, will see the end of a world. And the men who have been taken up, who have not tasted death from their birth, you shall be numbered among them. That is my interpolation, not Ezra's. Shall appear, and then shall the heart of the inhabitants of the world be changed. We're going to come to that, the changing of the heart of the inhabitants of this world. We're going to come to that, I think, as we go along further. And be converted to a different spirit. For evil shall be blotted out, deceit extinguished, faithfulness shall flourish, corruption shall be vanquished, and truth, which for so long a time has been without fruit, shall be made manifest. I do not think that Ezra told a prophecy. I think that in his infinite self, he simply reported what he saw in the nowness of being. And that what you will experience in the nowness of being, which comes forth as the fulfillment of prophecy, is already true and merely awaits your ascension to that Christ which is born in the awareness that soul and spirit are one, and that soul need no longer journey through the void, through the material world, through time and space, but is now ready to raise its head out of the illusions of this world, out of mortality, out of time, out of space, out of matter, out of all mental concept, and break through the world mind and the illusion of world karma, which has imprisoned man for so many so-called centuries. Now, those who have assembled here for a seminar called Paradise Now presumably are those whom Spirit has selected to be here for that purpose. I don't like the word presumably, but you will decide if that is so. And so that is how we are setting the standard, the pace, the tempo. And perhaps even before you go to sleep tonight, you can go to Isaiah 58. It isn't long. Read it through. See why you are expected to live in the seventh day. Forever. And so the tree of life becomes the place whereon we stand, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil should be part of the past of the human mind in which we were captive for so many centuries. Let's hold the silence. I will review briefly the three steps of the meditation because it is going to be the fulcrum of our expansion into Christ consciousness. God is present, whether you're sitting at home, whether you're sitting in an airplane or a factory, or you're swimming underwater. God is present always. From that you escalate. Only God is present. Not sharing that presence with any other so-called being or any other thing. Only God is present. We're upholding the law that God is one. God is present, only God is present, and the difficult part will be 100% of God is present. And that's the third part of your meditation. It has thousands of ramifications. And it is all truth, and so the practice of it should be utilized frequently, especially as you start your day, especially as you end your day, especially when you begin any projects. Always the knowledge that God is present, only God is present, 100% of God is present. And if you were to analyze what that means, you would say, there can be no disease in that, because there can be no mortal in that. And you would be striving to realize your immortality, which is, of course, disease-less. I find that unless you practice your immortality frequently, bottlenecks come all over the place. The mind can't reason its way out of certain situations. But if you're practicing your immortality, you are awakening the soul, which does not have the same problem as the mind, which sees impossibilities all around you. In the knowledge of immortality, you can look through the terrorisms. You can look through the wars. You can look through the threat of nuclear annihilation, and you can see that there is no mortal to be annihilated. You've got to go that far. You've got to take this and twist it and turn it in every direction against every circumstance that arises in such a way that you begin to feel the reality of it, the miracle of it, the truth of it. 100% of God is everywhere. And in the morning papers, the Ayatollah will come on strong, or Gaddafi, or someone else of that ilk. And that's where you go into your awareness, so that finally these things do not enter your consciousness as reality. They're not even comic strips. I know it's hard to go past Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but your soul does and has already done so. It's hard to go past Vietnam. That's why we're here, to go past. There is no paradise and Vietnam. There is no paradise and abortions. There is no paradise in heroin, cocaine, marijuana. You see the point? You've got to have the fullness of God in your consciousness as your consciousness. And you're not asking the world to pass judgment on your awareness of truth. You're not even asking the world to share your consciousness. This is your consciousness you're building, and like pebbles in the ocean, it will send eddies out. As you live in the sanctified seventh day, it will bless those in lesser consciousness and lift them up until one day they too can come into the same realization. We are not only raising our individual consciousness, but the consciousness of this non-world. We are finding the Spirit of God behind it all, recognizing it, forgiving the world, blessing the world, not because we're good, but because the Spirit of God is our name. And it is the name of the world that we are blessing. Never get so holy that you're looking down at anyone. So I think we've got a fairly good movement started here. You might feel it when you wake up in the morning. You might be thinking differently. You might find your soul is saying to you, "What took you so long to find me? I've been here all this time. Now you're releasing me. Now I can continue my journey. You're releasing me from mortal mind, from that so-called darkness." You may find this happening, that your soul begins to speak before you even turn on the brain. I think you will. We're conscious of the world mind as the barrier to paradise. And our soul, released from the darkness of the fourth day of creation, will move into the fifth day in its soul universe, where it will gather new strength to continue its journey through the world mind into the spiritual day, the spiritual sixth day, into the realized oneness which never was less. And paradise, which is ever present, will begin to send out signals to us saying, "You are very warm, very close, you are moving correctly." And with that, we'll thank Joel again, and we'll thank you for bringing with you the love, the spirit, the consciousness that you are, that we may, through our concerted effort, receive from each other the inspiration and the spiritual energy we need to accomplish what the world thinks is impossible. If you're up to it, care to say hello, I want to see you tonight or any other night or any other class, right after class, and let's just join forces all the way up to bedtime tonight, knowing that we are a force, divinely inspired, made of divine substance, and we are all bringing to each other a compounding of our awareness of that force. Thank you very much, and I look forward to saying hello to whoever comes up. Thank you.